So good to see all you beautiful people out there this morning. God is good. Tell your neighbor you're looking good this morning. And it's so good to see a lot of our newcomers. And we have a beautiful couple here. And Matt, Alexandra, and Tony Anthony, and what's it? Arthur? Hunter, that's right, Hunter. Great to see you. And good. Hey, new, God bless you. Welcome. Anybody else here, first-time visitors? Amen. We have some gifts for you. Raise your hand, first time. We have some gifts for you. But I also want to just recognize, of course, my son David and his beautiful wife, my daughter-in-law, Lindsay. And their parents are up here, Craig and Mary Chris. And, you know, Craig is an ex-Marine, so he hit it off with Pastor Pag right away. Kind of a gap, couple of decades in between, right? A couple, yeah. And they're up visiting, and you had the U.S. Open yesterday, and we'll, you know, have some great time today. And so good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. And I forget your first name. Deborah, that's right, Deborah. Deborah, you look great. We haven't seen you for a while. And, of course, there's a special woman of God in the house. Where is Diane? Diane, where are you? Right here. Oh, there you are. God bless you. We miss you. And it's so good to see you all. Oh, man, it's so beautiful. So, you know, on your brochure, could I have a brochure, Eva, please? On your brochure, obviously you have seen it, read it, and we're having a wonderful celebration dinner for Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane, and the info is right here, and it's September 21st, that's Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Bermuda Catering Hall in Deer Park. And we have a sign up in the back, and you could use a credit card. You just see Mary, there's envelopes. Eva, there's envelopes that she could use in that box that I brought up there that they could fill out a credit card if you want to pay today. Sign up. We really need to know how many's coming, and we're going to have a great celebration, and don't miss. We have children, and I think it's half price. 11 to 4 is half price, and I think 3 and under don't pay. 3 and under don't pay, and so I just want to share that information. So, man, we're going to have a great time. Come out. Some great things are happening. We're going to have some dedication and baptisms coming up. We're going to be announcing that as soon as we hit, you know, jumping right back into school. And we're excited for our Copay Christian Academy and Pastor Pag and our team and Damaris putting it all together. Kind of a new, fresh team and some fresh paint downstairs, right? And we're excited for that. Keep them in prayer and all of our teachers. You know, we have a school. Maybe some of you do know that. You don't know that. But it's pre-K to second grade. And I don't know if we had third grade, but it's second grade. Pre-K to second grade. And, you know, it's probably a little time of enrollment. But listen, would you stand and greet our guests and greet one another in the Lord? Tell somebody you love them in Jesus. God bless you. Amen. How are you feeling? Oh, good. Good to see all of you. Thank you. Well, how many here is ready? You're ready for a word from God. Come on, let's hear it. All right, me too. Me too. Have a seat. I want to just share something that's been burning on my heart for a couple of weeks. If you remember, we have been in the book of Philippians. Thanks, Frank. Let's hear it for Frank. Check out Frank. Does he look sharp? You are awesome, Frank. So is your mom. He's always looking sharp. Look at him. And so anyway, we've been in the book of Philippians for a couple of weeks. And have you here remember the sermon a couple of weeks ago? It was from a Caribbean song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, right? And we came from Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart, mind, and soul. And last Sunday, we continued to minister in the book of Philippians as well. And this morning, I want to continue. We spoke, really, we highlighted one of our favorites. Athletes use it all the time. Remember Philippians 4:13? How many remember that? How many have that quoted? Come on, help me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember, it was a message that I sub-messaged that you're stronger than you know. You're stronger than you know. So I want to continue in the book of Philippians, and I'm going to go with chapter 3 and verses 12 to 14. Stand with me for the reading of God's word real quick. And as I read it, I think it'll be up there. We'll have it on the screen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Powerful, powerful, powerful scripture. Listen to Apostle Paul when he writes and what he's writing. And it's so incredible. I love this portion of scripture. It says, not that I've already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Then Paul says in verse 3, brethren, I do not count myself but to have apprehended, but one thing I do. How powerful is this? Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward towards the things which are ahead. And love, for verse 14, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. Give him a shout. That's powerful. I need to hear that this morning. So I want to just pray for a touch from heaven for all of us, a word that will strengthen us in our inner being and so forth. So, Lord, I thank you for this weekend, and we pray a blessing on all of us as we have a wonderful time with the family. But, Lord, I pray for the word that would go in our hearts, deep in our hearts, that would take hold of every cell of our being, strengthen us, help us with our human perspective, yield to your divine perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't sit. Here's the title of my message. You ready? It's called The Jesus Challenge. Amen? Tell your neighbor, get ready to be challenged. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Philippians is just an extraordinary, inspiring book of the Bible. It just rocks my world. I remember Pastor Joe Sedgwick, who was one of my mentors. You remember Pastor Joe, and I mean, he's like 105 right now. He's unbelievable. He's just still cooking, still rocking. He married Miriam and I, and he was the first pastor that laid hands on me. And that's a whole nother story, I'll tell you. It was just incredible. I came to Sheepgate because Diane wouldn't leave me alone, and they wouldn't leave. Bobby wouldn't leave us alone, and finally I needed money, and so I came to borrow $200. From Diane. That was a lot of money back then. I probably lied to her, said I had to pay the rent, you know. And she said, okay, but you have to come to church. And so I came to church, and I tried to get her, you know, and to give her the money and all of a sudden. And she said no. And later on, Pastor Joe is rebuking the devil out of me, you know. A whole other story. But it was. I remember what he and the power of the anointing that came upon me. He said this, though, as I came and sat under his sermon one day. He said, if you could master the book of Philippians, you could master Christianity. I'll never forget that, maybe 35, 40 years ago. And so as we dig into the book of Philippians, I want to just share with you, because we're all on a miracle journey. Now listen, you know, people say, oh, that's just like cliche-ish. But seriously, we are. When you step in to God's divine anointing and you're a child of God, there's miracles. I mean, it is absolutely, miracles happen. So we are on a miracle journey. All of us are on some type of journey. And you know, as we look back, you know, no matter what you're going through, you'll realize how God guided you and provided for you. No matter what you're going through, you'll realize, you know, how did I get here? God brought me here. God got me here, you know? And maybe there's some of you here this morning that, you know, you got detoured. Maybe some of you wandered off. But listen to this. No matter how far away you may feel you're away from God, or how far away you wanted from God, I want you to hear this. First, we've got to answer that phone. You got it? I want you to hear this. That's okay. It's awesome. My phone goes off all the time. Don't worry about it. So I want you to hear this. No matter how far away you want it, or whatever has come in your way, don't miss this. You are on your way to something bigger, better, and more blessed than you ever had before. Can somebody praise them this morning? You know, everything, and note this, everything you've experienced so far in life, the good, the bad, the ugly, has brought you to this moment and has challenged you and transformed you for this moment in time. So I want you to lock in with me here, because I want you to know that God can use all of it. All of your mess, how many here, he'll turn into a message. All your mess, he'll turn into a message. And what does God do? And through all your mess, he begins to equip you. Come on, somebody, amen? And prepare you, while you're going through it. Why? Because nothing is wasted in God's economy. That's some good stuff. Nothing is wasted. And he can redeem even your greatest mistakes. Come on. The theme from the Bible in Genesis to Revelation is redemption. In other words, God can redeem anything, anybody, and take that messed up situation and turn it into a miracle. Do you believe that this morning? Give him a shout. Amen. I believe that. But understand this. Maybe you're in life, you're going through something, bad job, some failures, you know. You might be going through hard times in a relationship, you know, with your family, or looking for another job. Or you could be recovering from an injury or battling an addiction. You might feel lost, or you might feel found. But no matter where you are or how you feel, listen to this. It's time to pack your bags, trust God, and follow him, and get ready, because you're going on the Jesus Challenge. Hey, come on, somebody. God is so awesome, isn't he? So I want to share a few golden nuggets this morning in reference to this portion of scripture that that Apostle Paul wrote. Remember, in a Philippian jail. Remember that, in a jail. He's writing to the Philippians, rather. And he's in prison. I can't help to overemphasize that. Here he is, locked up. And from chapter, verse 6, chapter 1 of Philippians, be confident in this very thing, that he who's begun a good work will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I love chapter 3, verse 10. You've heard me share this before, where he says, oh, that I might know you. Here he is 30 years later, 40 years later, locked up in a prison. You know, I don't know about you, but I bet you if some of you were locked up in a prison, you wouldn't be going, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Maybe you would. But he's thinking, oh, that I might know you. What's Paul saying? What's God saying? That no matter what you're going through, you need to praise him, get your eyes on him, because he'll take you through and he'll make good out of it. Do you believe that? Come on, amen. So, nothing's wasted in God's economy. Let me give you this first Jesus challenge nugget. Number one, challenge your faith above all obstacles. Challenge your faith above all obstacles. Now, verse 12, I want you to hear this. There are incredible words that when you really pop out in the Bible that have such depth of meaning. Now, don't miss this, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on. And listen, that I might lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Now, here's this word, not that I've already attained. And so this is what Apostle Paul is saying. I'm not perfect. I got issues. How many here got issues? Huh? How many got one? Two? How many could raise five and throw some toes up there? Amen? And so Paul is saying that. That encourages me. That encourages me. Because I got issues and I got to continue to work them out. I mean, that's what Miriam always tells me. Amen? But I know it's reality. But not that I've already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on. Now you've got to understand that, you know, some of the biggest obstacles that you'll challenge and that you'll experience and you'll face is stepping out in faith, and then you find or face the fear factor. Because, listen, folks, you got to understand something. You know, the devil wants to steal your joy and put fear in your life and takes away your faith. It does. I believe some of you here are dealing with the fear factor that's limiting your potential and purpose. Listen to verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on. And Paul is literally saying that I'm going to continue to jump over these obstacles that face me, and every obstacle I face, God's going to use it. Come on, amen? And I believe that now, as I look across this whole beautiful church, what I see is Superman and Superwoman. Amen? Superman and Superwoman. Don't miss this. And you're from some other planet. Has anybody ever said that? What planet are you from, Scott? Amen? And so, but you are. You know what planet I'm from? Faith planet. Come on. Amen? People tell me, oh, you got ADD. I said, you bet you do. I do. I got what I got? Anointed divine destiny. I got ADD, man. Yeah, because I live on it. Matter of fact, I'm not from this planet. I'm from faith. But fear is the kryptonite to your destiny. Am I right? Superman and Superwoman. Fear is the kryptonite to your destiny. And think about what happened. What happened? Listen to the people in the Bible. Fear made Adam and Eve hide from God in the garden. Fear prompted Elijah to hide from Jezebel. Fear caused Jonah to be caught up in the belly of a whale, swallowed up in the belly of a whale. Fear caused Peter to sink in the lake and deny Christ. And I want to tell you, it's time to get the fear bus out and step into the faith bus. Are you with me? Amen? And I've shared this before. I think I preached in so many different places in the past. But listen, I like this acronym of fear. And I'm not sure if it's up there. I don't think I put it up there. But here it is. Listen, false expectations that appear real. False expectations that appear real. Can I say it again? False expectations that appear real. They really do. You know, people have anxiety attacks, panic attacks, right? And I've learned and did some study on panic attacks because in my family, a couple have gone through it. And what's so interesting that, you know, it's like the devil, it's like the back of your brain is lying to the front of your brain. I mean, it really is. It's the weirdest thing. It's like the devil just messes with you. And so when that fear comes in, you know, what I say, false expectations that appear real. But listen, you can't live in the fear factor. You got to live in the faith factor. What planet are you on? Faith planet. Can I say it again? What planet are you on? Faith planet. Listen, check this out. Forget planet fitness. Are you hearing me? Forget planet. Listen, that ain't your answer to your issues. Planet faith is your fitness planet. Come on, somebody, amen? That should be their advertisement. It'll kill them. But let me just give you the acronym for faith. We gave you the acronym for fear, false expectations that appear real. And I've shared this, I believe. I think we have this up there. If you could put it up. Acronym for faith is fear ain't in this house. Come on, somebody. Fear ain't in this house. Can you say it with me? Fear ain't in this house. And don't miss this. You got to understand. I love this one. I think someone told me this a little while ago. Another acronym for faith is forward all issues to heaven. I like that. Come on, amen. When fear comes, send it to heaven. Amen. When anxiety comes, send it to heaven. Hallelujah. So maybe some of you are paralyzed or boxed in by fear. But this is interesting because Apostle Paul, again, you know, he's raising up Timothy. Timothy is, as you know in the Bible, he is Paul's protege. Timothy is mentoring him. He's actually a pastor at this time, but he's going through the battle. He's going through a lot in life. And he has a great, you know, a great lineage because Paul mentions, as he speaks to Timothy, we'll give you the conclusion. He says, you know, that, you know, he says, remember that your of your grandmother and your mother, the faith they had. And he said, remember me, I laid hands on you. He's writing to Timothy, the attacks are happening, the oppression is there. It's some serious stuff because Nero's killing Christians like crazy. And so there was, you know, there was some stuff going on. But Paul writes this to Timothy. He says this, and don't miss this. He said, Timothy, God did not give you the spirit of fear. Are you ready? You know what I'm going to say, right? What did he give him? But the power of love and a sound mind. You know what I love about that? Because what Paul is saying, that your faith factor is strengthened through your love factor. You remember the illustration I gave last week about the turbulence that took place and the plane, you know, is just going crazy and ready to crash and all of a sudden, you know, they landed well and everybody's breathing, but there was a young boy that sat up front. You remember what I said? And wasn't moving, wasn't nervous, and a couple of people said, "How come you weren't nervous?" He said, "Because my dad was flying the plane." Come on, amen. Can I tell you, your dad, God the Father, is flying your plane. He's ruling your house. He's on the boat. Give him some glory, amen. So, I love that. God did not give you, listen, the spirit of fear, but the power of love and sound mind. Is it interesting that Paul did not say faith, right? Because love produces faith. Because your love relationship with God is what produces faith. You got trust in my Father. Amen? My God's going to come through. So, a simple definition of faith. I was fooling around with this, I think, just in the back room there. Here's a simple definition. I really didn't work on it too hard. So, you know, I'm not going to coin it yet, but simply, the ability to see God's divine providence in your present and future destiny. Can I say it? Faith. The ability to see, and I used the word discern, and then I crossed it out, put see, because it is discernment. And the ability to see God's divine providence in your present and future destiny. Now, God gives us the best definition, doesn't he? How many know we got the best definition? It's found in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And it's found in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on, it doesn't get easier than that. And all you need is a mustard seed of faith. You know, and that's all you need. Miriam and I, we're pioneering, you know, in our team, pioneering Destiny Church. And I think we started in 2021. On Father's Day, a new work. And, you know, it was a wonderful thing that God just opened up. We were looking all over the world. Right down the block from my house, is the, you know, on Deer Park, was Bermuda Catering Hall. We were driving by, me and this gentleman, and we saw the sign, and we're like, I'm there almost 25 years. I've never seen this catering hall, you know. This day we do, and Lord, just favor. But after about 2.5, almost 3 years, we were just saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And personally, I was at a place where, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing. You know, maybe we're finished with New York. Maybe we'll sell the house. I mean, I was thinking of that, you know, because, you know, we were working it, and it was a setup every day. You know, it's a catering hall, so you got to set up the sound system, break it down. It's tough. And I just thought, our time is up. Our time is up. I was looking for buildings. I was going here, going there. And I even went to my architect, literally, and revamped. I don't know if I've ever told you this, Pastor. I had plans drawn out, and in the spiritual, we found a piece of property. If you ever come out of Costco, in Melville, as soon as you come out of Costco, there's a gardening place there. And that's been for sale. It's about 2 acres. And so I literally got the site plans from a real estate, sent it to my architect. This is about 2022, 23 or 2024. And then I said, I'm not going to go through this. There's no way I'm going to raise, because you talk about you got to raise $7 million. And I just laid it, and I just kind of got a little discouraged. You know, I really did. I just, you know, my faith was weak. I didn't know what to do. There's a whole lot of other factors that I'll share in the future. I mean, I was at kind of wit's end. Not even kind of. I was at wit's end in many different things. But I said this to the Lord. I said with just a mustard seed of faith, God, if you want us to continue the work of the Lord here on Long Island, you're going to have to provide a church. Because I can't build one. I can't pray. I can't. And sure enough, we get a phone call from Pastor Pag. Come on, somebody. And Pastor Pag turned that mustard seed of faith into a reality, and we're here today. Come on. This is a faith church. So let me move ahead, because, you know, don't miss this, because you got to understand, you know, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Now, that's a good definition. Let me say it again. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss this. We must never forget, don't miss this, there's an invisible reality beyond what we can see. There's an invisible reality beyond what we can see. Listen, you must understand that our human perception is limited. Do you agree with that? It really is. You know, and remember, your human perception is not God's reality. Now, that's good news. That's awesome news, amen? It may look as if it's too late for you to beat cancer or any affliction or that's ravaging your mind and body. It may look like it's beyond hope that you'll ever find another job or career or church. I want you to know this. Listen, it may even look as though the devil is winning in your family or your destiny. It may look as hell is about to celebrate. It may look as if we'll never come out of this trial. But these perceptions is not your reality. No matter what it looks like, you're not seeing the complete picture. God is ready to transform your hardest, most painful circumstance into a catalyst for growth and blessings. God is for you, and when it's all said and done, what looked like your worst defeat will actually become your greatest victory. Oh, give God a big shout. Come on. Think about that. What looked like the end will actually be your beginning, and that's what we're experiencing today. And what looked like the end of our ministry is actually the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, how awesome is God? You know, and don't worry about what others are saying. Amen. Never forget the Jesus challenge. Don't forget this. If it's broke, God can fix it. If it's empty, God can fill it. If it failed, God can restore it. If it's sin, God can forgive it. Come on, somebody needs to shout with me. If it's wrong, God can make it right. If it's crooked, God can straighten it out. If it fell, God can pick it up. If it's paralyzed, God can make it walk. Even if it's dead, God can resurrect it. Nothing is beyond God, and nothing is impossible with God. That's the truth. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Jeremiah wrote this, God, for I know the thoughts, and declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. Amen? God is good. Let me give you the second golden nugget real quick. Here it is. First one was challenge your faith above all obstacles. Number two, challenge your calling and miracles will open. Challenge your calling and miracles will open. Remember what Paul said in verse 12. Not that I have already attained. Are you ready? Listen. Or am I already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. And there's something just miraculous that's about you. It really is. You know, you have divine destiny. You really do. And every demon in hell wants to hinder it. Every demon in hell wants to shut it up. You know, you've got divine destiny. Tell your neighbor you got divine destiny. Go ahead, tell him that. You really do. And I'm so blessed by my children. It's so great that, you see, David and Lizzie, we have such a great time when we're hanging out and all of you. But when they were kids, Miriam and I prayed for their divine destiny. We really did. We knew that God had something special. In fact, in my eyes, and I still see it, I'm thinking these guys are going to be superstars. They were. David was going to go to the pros. I just thought that because that's he's my son, and that's what I believe, amen? And he has gone to the pros. In fact, I did Pepsi commercials with every one of them, thinking that Pepsi, one day, they're going to be on the Pepsi, and I'm going to have them as they were kids, you know? I'm not kidding. I really did. You know, and I named them. David is Champion. Dion's is Conqueror. And Dominique is Nike. And they all, you know, we poured it to their hearts, the divine destiny. In fact, I remember David. David, we were up at Camp Champion. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, I would preach over and over tons of messages. And David memorized them because he traveled with me. We pulled David out of school when he was in fourth grade. And he traveled with me, you know, wherever I preached. I was preaching all over the place. And he's memorizing. One day, a Camp Champion in front of all the Teen Challenge students, he grabs a Bible and he starts preaching to everybody. He starts quoting, press on, press on. God's got a divine destiny for you. Press on. He was kind of making fun of me. But I was loving it. Go, David. Go. That's it. He's got a calling. He's going to be a preacher. Amen. And then I wanted him to go to Bible college and follow in my footsteps. And Dominique and Deonza did. But David wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to be a businessman, you know. He wanted to be a millionaire, you know, and all that good stuff. And I said, okay, I'm going to root you on. I would tell people, you know, I got three kids. You know, two are missionaries and one's going to be a millionaire. Come on, somebody. I would say that all the time. And so David was like, I'm not going to Bible school. I'm not dressing up all that stuff. Are you kidding me? You know, curfews and all that. And in God's divine destiny, he went to New York Tech. Did you go to New York Tech? And then this and that. And all of a sudden, David ends up at Liberty University. He's still studying international business. And he calls me and he goes, and it's a Christ-centered Bible college, big time, you know that. And he calls his dad, you're not going to believe this, what? I got to wear a tie and there's a curfew here. I said, we got you in Bible college. Come on, somebody. God's so awesome, isn't he? You know, and all of you do that. You know, all of you want that. There's a divine purpose. There's a divine, destiny. You hear me share that all the time. That's why I love Destiny Church and Destiny Mission. I'm reminded of a doctor who's riding with his colleague in the front. His little daughter's in the back. And she happens to grab his stethoscope, and she's talking in there, and she began playing with it, and he hears, and they're driving, and she's speaking into it, and the father looks at his colleague and says, listen, He's watching. He says, listen, my daughter wants to follow in my footsteps. Just listen. And all of a sudden she says, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order? Hey, listen, don't forget this. Your unique calling often starts at McDonald's. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So every one of us has a unique calling, you know. And I remember when Miriam and I, we were at the Bible college, and we got so inspired by the David Wilkerson Crusades, preaching in the streets, fell in love with it. You know, that's our heart. And so we were learned in Brooklyn Tea Challenge, and with David Wilkerson World Challenge, we learned how to set up and how to produce a street rally. And so Miriam and I produced one of our first, it was a rock the block. We didn't call it back then. We called it like taking it to the streets. You know, stages and everything, and it was we got everybody involved. That is so much more detail with it. I preached, and so many people gave their lives to the Lord. And I remember, you know, we went back and we were sitting down. And Kevin Hennessy was one of my friend that I grew up with, literally did drugs with and all that. And then back in the early late 70s, he disappeared. A whole situation. I didn't see him for, you know, I guess 15 years or whatever it was, or 10 or 7 or 8, I can't remember that. So I'm in Brooklyn Teen Challenge as a student. All of a sudden, I see Kevin Hennessy. I'm thinking he's in the program. I said, man, Kevin. He had a nickname, I can't tell you. And said, Kevin, you're one of them? You know, I was like the second day, you know, saved. And he says, no, I'm a staff. So he became like such an inspiration. So we're in Bible college right after the street rally. And I call Kevin and I said, Kevin, you won't believe what happened. And we had our first rally. I got up and preached. It was amazing. People got saved. You know what he said? He says, Jimmy, it sounds like you found your niche. Sounds like you found your niche. That meant so much to me. I was like, man. I mean, it just, I understood. Like that's your groove. That's your purpose. And really, what Paul says, listen. Not that I've already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Now, I don't know if you can put that scripture up. I'm not sure if it's up there. Verse 12. Is there any way you can look at verse 12 if you can? It's in Philippians verse 12. It was right in the beginning of text. If you can, because I don't want you to miss this. And so here it is. Look, check this out. Not that I've already attained. That word attained is incredible. We'll talk about it. Or am I already perfected? But I press on. That I may lay hold of that. Someone say that. Now David will remember this, that. Amen? And because think what he's saying is, what's your that? Look, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold. And you could put a blank there and fill it in. Like, what's your that? What's your niche? What's your that? That's really what that's saying. Listen, it says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of. That's why God's grabbed you. You get it? Because he's got a that. So say that. He really does. You see, when Jesus apprehended me, he showed me my that. And that was awesome. If you don't know what your that is, you need to definitely find out what your that is. You see, my that is different than your that. My that is not better than your that, and your that's not better than my that. How about that? I've discovered my that. How about you? Now, if you do not find your that, then your that will be done by someone else, and that ain't good. Come on, somebody. So whatever your that is, find your that. Treasure your that. Use your that to glorify God in everything that you do. And when you find your that, your heavenly Father will be filled with joy that you found your that and use your that he may be glorified. And that's the truth, and that's enough of that. Come on, somebody. Church, it's time to find your that. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said our goal is not to measure up anybody else except God's plan for our life. Don't worry about skills you don't have. Don't cover strengths others have. Just maximize your God-given gifts. Kindle a fresh fire and let God do his thing through you. And step out into the jet stream of your divine destiny. Come on, somebody. Now let me give you the last one. We just go over this. Listen. Number one, challenge your faith above all obstacles. Number two, challenge your calling and miracles will open. And number three, challenge your challenges and press on. Challenge your challenges and press on. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself but to apprehend, but one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward towards the things which are ahead. I love this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love this scriptures. See, as you're on the Jesus challenge, you're going to face hell's challenge. You are. The enemy attacks you, not because of the foolish things you've done. Let me say it again. The enemy attacks you not because of the foolish or bad things you've done, but because of the glorious things you're about to do that God has in store for you. That's what the enemy wants to hinder. You see, no matter where you are right now, your story isn't over and your journey hasn't ended. God's doing a new, fresh thing. God has a destination for you, and it's been preparing for your life, for your entire life. There's incredible things God is about to do. Listen, circumstances don't define us or determine who we are. They only reveal who we are. So if you're going through a circumstance, you're going through hell's attacks, you'll find out who you are. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I was driving a couple of months ago, and I was just coming out of Giuseppe's in Deer Park, and you know, and you, a car, and you know, I'm leaving, so cars are going. And I saw this other car, and it was, you know, it was a decent distance, and you know, I like to, you know, get right in, so I merged in there quick. It's in the parking lot, and I hear, he's going nice. And if he had a gun, he would have shot and killed me. I'm like, I'm looking in the mirror laughing like, this guy's an idiot, a nut job. Then I got a little bit of, you know, challenging, and I gave him a little brake test, you know. And then I said, then he's fighting to pull over, and I immediately saw something in me that had to be crucified, right? And thank God, that split second. And he said, finally got. And his window, and I rolled down my window, and I'm smiling. He's thinking, I'm kind of laughing because, you know, it was funny. The guy's nuts, you know. And he, I'll kill you, you man. I go, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And brother, I love you. I'll look into that, and I'll pray for you. He didn't, he's like, you know, like rocked his window. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm short-fused person. I go, yeah, you definitely are, amen. What am I saying? That in those moments, things come out of you, amen? And so circumstances, they can reveal what's in you. No matter how dark or how bleak or how painful your present circumstance is, there's hope in you when you know Jesus. And that's what's so awesome. That's like, you know, you got to get off of the fear planet. Are you with me? The flesh planet and get on the faith planet, amen? And that's what I did, and that's what I'm going. But as I like to say, an attitude of gratitude is not just a platitude. Your gratitude will determine your altitude. Amen? And gratitude, when you have that in your heart, and Paul is saying this, you know. He's saying, forget the things which are behind. And your attitude has to have faith in it. You can't drag the past into your future. The challenge you're facing today in your issue, you know, you got to take that challenge to the Word. And that's what Paul did in every situation he did. And what was he teaching us? Follow me, for I follow Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, and that's a bold statement, amen? And the more that I get into these circumstances, the more I can find out who I am, you know? And that's why you've got to overcome the obstacles that are facing you. There are hurdles that are facing you. And know this, no matter what your past is, remember he said, forgetting the things which are behind. Don't forget that. This is how you get to that prize. This is how, not that I've already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Remember? He said, now watch this. He says, brethren, he says, not that I have apprehended all things, but one thing I do. What's Paul saying? I mastered this. I mastered this. And we got to get to that place to master that principle, Paul's forgetting the things which are behind. Are you hearing me? He says, I have not apprehended all things. Apprehended means grasp onto with an understanding psychologically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. He says, but one thing I've apprehended. Come on, somebody. Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward towards the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, we can slam the book and say, let's rock the world for Jesus. Amen. And so it doesn't matter what you did in your past. Listen, God can turn your past failures into future blessings, the past or the future. He could transform the pathetic into the prophetic. He could take your problems and turn them into promises, nightmares into dreams, flesh into the spirit. Amen? Google searches you could go to or godly churches, your choice. Amen? But never let the problem drive your direction. Don't let them drive you. You're on the Jesus challenge. Don't let your crisis become your compass. Are you with me? Amen? We have too many Christians who continue to be driven by personal drama rather than godly destiny. Woo, come on. See, too many who spend more time reacting to what comes from hell rather than what comes from heaven. You know, when people, I notice that I'm talking, they start talking about the devil and Satan does this and Satan does that, I shut them down. I let them know. You just quoted the word Satan and hell like 17 times. And you mentioned Jesus once. Let's reverse that. Amen? Come on. We spend too much time on what people say and think about us rather than what God did for us and what he do for them. You know? Do not be driven by what you see. Be driven by what God says. Think about that. Don't be driven by past mistakes. Be driven by future miracles. Don't be driven by feelings. Be driven by faith. Don't be driven by being a victim. Be driven by being victorious. Come on, somebody. Amen? I'm speaking to somebody, especially to me. You always have choices. You know how you're going to respond in the storm. And you could choose fear or you could choose faith. You could choose fear or faith and allow God to direct you through the storm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on, somebody. But thou art with me. Give him a big shout. Hallelujah. God is so good to us this morning. Amen. Why don't we stand and pray? I want to ask God to do something fresh in our lives, you know? I really do. And it's a great day today. Labor Day weekend. Great day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? And don't miss this, because your miracle, listen, will redeem every mistake you have committed. What do I mean by that? When you get to that place where you have prepared your heart, mind, and soul, God will do miracles, as he did for Apostle Paul. Remember what he said, not that I have already attained or perfected, but I press on. And then he said, but one thing I have apprehended, you know, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward towards the things which are ahead. He had to. Paul had to. He had to. Why? He was a Christian serial killer. You hear me? Don't forget that. That's why Paul wrote that. Because every time, listen, don't miss this, because it happens. Because there's times when you want to step out and the devil wants to whisper in your ear, I remember Saul. Saul, you're a Christian killer. And what was Saul? Hand in the face. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. So listen, the reality is today, you may be facing obstacles. Challenge your faith above all obstacles, above and beyond. Challenge your faith. And I end with it, and it says, challenge your calling, miracles will open. Challenge your challenges and press on. Let me share this with you. So I was watching television, a sports show or something, I don't know, a documentary, or it was a preaching, I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry, as I was driving here, I can't remember the gentleman's name. Anyway, a college football star. He was a star. And he had one game left to go to go to the NFL. Automatic millionaire. One of the last games, he tackled or he ran with the ball and somebody hit his head, paralyzed. Paralyzed from neck down. He's in the hospital, all dreams gone. Coach comes in and says, you may never walk again. And he got angry at the coach. He says, that's not what you taught me on the field. And everybody was, encouraging, let him know that you're never going to walk again. And he said something that totally blessed me. He said, you know what I had inside of me that overcame all that stuff? As he's speaking to a huge crowd, one of his hands was still, was numb all the way down. And he said, I knew I had sweat equity. Whoa, that rocked me. And I totally understood that as basketball player and all that stuff. And what that means is that sometimes you can do things because you tell yourself you have worked hard and hard and it's in you. And you know that it's in you. There's equity. You know what equity is? Value. Rich value. Rich value. Someone says there's equity in a house. That means there's value beyond what you are. Value. He said, I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked and I never gave up. I began to crawl. I began to walk. I began to crutches in a wheelchair. And today I stand here today sharing what God's done in my life. What am I saying to all of us? You got faith equity. When you go through the fire, remember who you are and what you have. You have equity. And Paul was saying that in every verse in his incredible journey. Don't forget Christ in me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. I want to pray. How many here say this minister to your word? Raise your hand and say, you know what? I need prayer today. I just want to get strengthened. Come on up. We just want to pray for you. Just join us at the altar if you'd like. Step out. We want to pray God's blessing on your life. Going through something, whatever it might be. We're going to worship a little bit. We want to pray for you and ask God to fill you with that strength to overcome obstacles. You have a dream, God's going to do it. Amen. Come on up. We're going to pray with you. Amen. As we worship. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
When it's all about you,
it's all about you, Jesus.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And when it's all about you,
it's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song.
Yes.
I'll bring you more than a song.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
want to pray for all of you here this morning. And God's got such a wonderful plan for your life. And maybe you can't see it, but remember, there's an invisible realm that God works in. And what we have to do is lock in, step in, and position ourselves, and let God do his thing. Amen. I want to pray right now. Would you say this prayer? All of us today, just say this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Today, I open my heart and I ask you to cleanse me. Remove all obstacles. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Increase my faith. Increase my love for you. Whatever hinders me from loving you more, remove it, Lord. This day, I surrender my life, my destiny, my calling that you have given me since the day I was born. And Lord, I thank you and will cherish it. And I will forget the things which are behind and reach forward towards the things which are ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody give him a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have some prayer up here. If you want to come up, we'll have some prayer. And if you'd like to meet us in the cafe, and don't forget to sign up, please, for the celebration dinner. We love you. And if you need prayer, stay. We'll pray with you. And continue to greet one another. God bless. Amen.